the Ohio School of the Air. Men who made America. Stories of action, of achievement, of the men and women who have contributed to the molding of the nation. Today, 42 years, the story of George Wesley Bellows and the rich achievement he crowded into the tragically brief span of 42 years.
Ago, the newspapers told of the passing of George Bellows, the artist, dead at the untimely age of 42, and America was saddened. Not alone the little circle of critics who smugly imagine that enjoyment and appreciation begin and end with them. For the first time, this country had produced a truly native artist who painted the American scene for Americans. And with that uncanny native genius, which the common people have for estimating worth and integrity, for distinguishing the real from the counterfeit, America had taken George Bellows to its heart. The man in the street found in the paintings of George Bellows the same beauty and joy that the critics did. For once they were agreed, the critics and the man in the street.
Oh, Al. Hey, Al.
What?
Hold up a minute, will you?
What's the idea of busting in all my training?
That's what you want to know. A friend of yours checked in. It's in the paper.
Who?
That artist guy. The one that did Stag and Chalky, isn't that,
George Bellows? Let me see. Gosh. Well, what do you know?
Good guy?
As good as they come. And when he painted a picture of a fight, it was so natural you could hear the crowd cheering and hear the punches.
Is you going to play basketball this afternoon, Bill?
No.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
Then why? You didn't hurt your knee much yesterday.
That isn't it. I guess you wouldn't feel much like playing if a friend of yours had just died.
Who?
Oh, a man. You don't know him.
Friend of your dad?
No. Dad didn't know him, but he says he's the greatest artist in America. And I know him. He painted a lot of us kids swimming. And that's why I don't feel like...
Oh, I do too, Norm. His name's George Bellows. And boy, does he know baseball and boxing. Is he dead?
Gee. Yeah. And look, there's a picture of one of his paintings in the paper.
Let me see.
There's 42 of us swimming, and I'm in it. You can't tell because I got my shirt over my head.
I'm in it, too. This is me.
Gee, it is. And there's Mickey and Carl and Paul.
And it says here in the paper, one of the most celebrated American paintings by the late George
G. I wish I hadn't had my shirt over my head.
And I was saying to the missus this morning, hiya, Denny!
Hello, Patty!
Mind the gang plank there, it's slippery!
Oh, not for a pilot that's been going down the bay these 20 years.
Yeah, good trip?
Oh, so-so. What's the news ashore?
Friend of ours died, Denny.
Old Fallon. I was afraid
Artist fella. The one that done that picture of the battery and them of the docks and Dinty's place.
Sure, I know him. Oh, and it's a shame it is. Seeing one of his pictures at the docks was like smelling salt water.
And hearing the whistles and foghorns of a rainy night. I got a picture of one of them that the missus found in a magazine. Father O'Rourke says it's in a museum place in Central Park, but I like it just because it's pretty. And like the pier and docks here.
Metropolitan Museum, curator of modern paintings. The Times calling for you.
Hello. Yes. Yes, the curator speaking. Oh, yes. Bellows. Uh-huh. Yes, just reading it. Oh, yes. A great loss to American art. In the Metropolitan? Oh, yes, of course, a number of his things. Up the Hudson, the Sand Team, and some of his best lithographs. No. Sharkey's is in the Cleveland Museum. Yes, we'll be having a show of his work now, although you must remember that only 8 American artists have been so honored, and none until 25 years or more after their death. No, we'll have one of Bellows this year. Yes, I knew him very well, but I don't know that I could give you a story over the telephone. He crowded more work into only 19 years of painting than most artists have in a lifetime. Well, just the highlights, then. You might start out by saying that Bellows is truly American. He never found it necessary to go abroad, either for training or for ideas, although he had at least 2 opportunities to go with expenses paid. He's largely responsible for the trend toward the American scene, which is making America art conscious. You can say he flashed like a meteor across the firmament of art. Mm-hmm. 2 years after he completed his first painting, one of his works was hanging in the Metropolitan, and that never happened before. I'd say Bellows painted exactly as he pleased. He paid no heed to what was fashionable or profitable. He was unconcerned about public taste. He sought to please only himself, and in doing that, he pleased the critic and the public, too. Well, you'd have to begin your story back in Columbus, Ohio. That's where he was born in 1882. His father was an architect. As a boy, young Bellows had, 2 enthusiasms. Drawing, and baseball. Gene Spiker told me once about his boyhood. Bellows was a healthy, husky lad who knew how to take care of himself.
Take it back, will you?
No.
You take it back now?
Yeah. I'll take it back.
I say it.
You're not a sissy, and I take back what I said, that drawing pictures and being an artist is sissy.
Okay, Spike. But don't ever say it again, because artists are the swellest guys in the world, and I'm going to be one. Now, you got to sell all the rest of these tickets like you promised if I licked you. I got to go and get my easel and crayons ready for the show.
Buy a ticket, mister? Buy a ticket, mister?
No.
Buy a ticket for a show, Mr. Hale?
Show? What show, Spike?
The Brownies. We're earning money to get baseball uniforms.
I'm sorry, Sonny.
Oh, it won't take much time, and it don't cost much.
Who's in the show?
Well, my brother and Sox Raymond and all the guys on the team. We're going to have a real magician to do some magic tricks. It's only a dime. Don't you want a ticket, Mr. Hale?
All right, here. Where is this entertainment?
Over in Grandma Stockton's basement, right across the street, where George is going in, over there.
George?
Yeah, George Bellows, you know. He draws pictures in the show.
He draws in a show?
Yeah, Chalk Talk. He's the best drawer you ever saw. Down those steps. They'll find your seat.
All right, thanks, Spike.
Give me your ticket.
All right, now where do I sit?
Over there. The show's just starting.
Oh,
too.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, first on the program is George Bellows, who's going to do a chalk talk.
First, I'll draw some pictures of famous people. Bring the easel out, fellas. Don't stop it, you're grabbing my axe. Who do you want first?
Governor Harvard.
Mr. Monet.
Thank you. I'll draw Lincoln. First, you sketch the forehead. There. Now, the face.
the eye. And the nose. And ear. The faster you work, the better it looks. Just a few wrinkles. Then the whiskers. And the bow tie. Costello, it's finished. There you are, ladies and gentlemen.
Abraham Lincoln. Hey, that kid's good. He's great.
By the time young Bellows enrolled at Ohio State University, he was drawing pretty well. His scrapbook was filled with pictures of professors and classmates. He contributed sketches to the yearbook, sang in the Glee Club. And baseball, though, was still his favorite sport. He and some of his old Brownie teammates were on the Ohio State squad. Yeah, they were on the varsity. Fred Cornell, composer of the alma mater song, Carmen, Ohio, one of his best friends. One day in spring, State had just beaten Oberlin in a close game. George and Fred were dressing in the locker room.
Good game, huh?
Yeah.
Didn't that crowd cheer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cheering section helped.
They ought to be a lot better, though. We ought to have a good song.
Yeah, that's what I've been thinking. Now, look. What do you think of this for a starter?
Yeah. Where is it? Huh? Oh. Carmen, Ohio.
Yeah.
What's the Carmen part?
Well, that's Latin. Hymn of love for Ohio, you might translate it.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Come, let's sing Ohio's praise and songs to alma mater raise. While our hearts rebounding thrill with joy which death alone can still. Summer's heat or winter's cold, the season pass, the years will roll.
You don't like that last couplet, do you?
No.
I didn't either. How's this? Time and change will surely show.
How firm thy friendships, Ohio.
Yeah.
Not like that. Yeah, this will make a swell song, Fred. What about a tune?
Well, I've been thinking about that.
There'll be something big, magnificent and broad like Ohio.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There's an old hymn, Spanish hymn, it's called. It goes,
That's good. It's got dignity and sweep. Come on. There's a piano in the gym classroom across the hall. Let's try it.
Okay. I think I can play it good enough. Let's see.
Oh, come, let's sing Ohio's praise and songs to alma mater raise. While our hearts rebounding thrill with joy that death alone can still. Summer's heat and winter's cold, the seasons pass, the years will roll. Time and change will surely show how firm thy friendship, Ohio.
Great stuff, Fred. You've got something there.
You know, it'd be great to hear the Stand sing it next year when we beat Illinois, won't it?
Fred, I won't be on the team to hear it, Fred. I'm going to New York to study art. Today was my last game.
Gee, leaving Ohio State. We'll miss you, George.
I'll miss State, too, and playing on the team. Playing on the team and hearing all the crowd sing your Carmen, Ohio.
So, Bellows came to New York and studied under Robert Henry. That's the French spelling, yeah. Kenneth Miller and Jay Hambridge. Next to art, music was his passion. He eked out his meager allowance for playing professional baseball, singing in a choir and quartet. He loved to sing so well that once when he needed a model, it occurred to him to invite a voice teacher.
How about letting me do your portrait, Dave?
Oh, I couldn't afford it, George. Vocal teachers are hard up as painters these days.
And how about an exchange? You give me voice lessons and I'll do your portrait.
That's an idea. How long will it take?
Well, all depends on how it strikes me after I get into it.
When do you want to start?
Now?
Well, whenever you say. What do you want me to do?
Well, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. Talk if you like, but don't move.
Is this okay?
No. I want you with your head tilted back. Your hands on that table as if you were playing. There. That's characteristic. I've studied you many times. That's fine.
Now, what do you do first?
Draw a sketch. Haven't you ever seen a painter at work?
No, I don't know much about art. I notice that you paint unusual things, though. That picture over there, for instance, of the kids in swimming.
Mm-hmm. That picture of 42 nude kids? Henry liked it. There were lots that didn't. Said such things didn't lend themselves to artistic treatment.
You like to do American things, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Sure, why not? The Danube is more paintable than the Hudson. There's much more color in Times Square than in Piccadilly. I've never seen Brittany, but I'll bet it's no better than the Maine coast. You know, I'm sick of American buildings copied from Greek temples and Italian villas. We stand on our own feet in industry and science. Why not not?
Because he dared to defy tradition, Bellows began attracting nationwide admiration. He won the Hallgarten Prize of the National Academy of Design, and before long, his canvases were hanging in all the big museums of the country and over in Europe. 1910, he married the handsome Miss Emma Story. Story, yes. Upper Montclair, New Jersey. 2 years later, at the age of 27, became the youngest member ever named to the National Academy. Lithographs, almost a lost art, caught his interest. Within a few years, his lithographs commanded high prices. One night, Joseph Pennell, the etcher, was speaking on lithography at the National Arts Club.
Now, before we discuss specific examples, I should perhaps explain what lithography is. Briefly, a lithograph is a crayon drawing on stone, chemically treated so that it may be used as a printing plate. Mr. George Bellows is largely responsible for the awakened interest in this interesting medium. But much as we honor him for that, I, for one, must deplore his choice of subjects. I do not think any artist can paint or draw beyond the thing which he himself sees with his own eyes.
Excuse me, Mr. Pennell, but let me get this straight. You mean to say that art must be the result of an artist's personal experience? Do you deny that artists can portray more than what is actually before him?
I mean this, Mr. Bellows. Had you been present, let us say, at the execution of Edith Cavell, and had you seen the whole thing with your own eyes, you would have done a far more authentic picture than the one you made up out of your own head.
Gentlemen, I admit I did not witness the execution of Edith Cavell. Neither, so far as I have been able to learn, was Leonardo da Vinci present at the Last Supper.
Example of Bellows' quick, straight thinking on art. His warm personality and philosophy were as unique as his work, and people from all walks of life were attracted to his studio. All were grist for his mill, for people were the breath of life to George Bellows.
Someone else to see you, George, all right?
Oh, sure, Emma. Bring him along. I've knocked off work anyway.
I'm Brady of the World. I telephoned you about a story, Mr. Bellows.
Of course. Sit down.
Thanks.
Mr. Smythe, Mr. Brady. Mr. Smythe is one of our more critical...
Hi, how do you do? Delighted, Mr. Brady.
I was just trying to justify some of my lithographs. Mr. Smythe doesn't quite approve.
Oh, now, I wouldn't say that.
What's this you're working on, Mr. Bellows?
It's a lithograph of a prize fight.
But many people consider a fighter, well, immoral.
Oh, that's bunk. My only concern is whether my fight drawings are good art.
Then you don't consider fighters immoral persons?
No. They're as moral a lot as you'll find. But suppose they weren't. I could name canvases of 1,000 people and subjects whom I consider infinitely more immoral. But they're in the great museums. The woman who sat for the Mona Lisa was immoral, but the painting that filtered through Da Vinci's mind is great art.
Yes, but don't you think nudity is immoral?
Not unless you think so. Yeah. But which is the more questionable? A figure that's posed so, or the drawings where there's a reason for the nudity? Like a boxer in action, or boys swimming.
Yes, but take the expression on that boxer's face.
Mr. Smythe, to me there's as much interest in a boxer's face as in a Madonna's. Let me go, dear.
Oh, no, let me.
Well, I guess I'd better be going. Thanks, it'll make just the story I wanted. The artist answers his critic.
If you mean me, no. Mr. Bellows has, well, quite converted me to his way of thinking. You know, I think I'll buy this fight picture here.
I'm sorry, Mr. Smythe. It isn't for sale. I want to live with it a while. Maybe work on it some more. Oh, hello, Gene. What's the idea of ringing?
Well, I saw the light in the studio and figured you had guests.
My friend, Mr. Eugene Spiker, Mr. Smythe.
How do you do, Mr. Spiker? Well, I'm sorry you want part of this picture, Mr. Bellows.
Well, Bellows is like that, Mr. Smythe. Wait till you've known him as long as I have.
Well,
good night, Mr. Smythe.
Good night, Mr. Bellows.
Good night. You know, some people annoy me, Gene. A chap who thinks of art in terms of morality has no business with any of my pictures.
Well, nor anybody's.
Let me get you some coffee, Gene.
Oh, no, thanks, Emma. I just stopped in to see if I could lure George up to the polo ground.
Polo ground?
Emma doesn't know that the pride of the Pampas, Louis Angel Firpo, is taking on Jack Dempsey, the old Manassa Moller. Say, how'd you get the ticket?
Oh, I knew a man. You want to go?
Bet your life.
Well, let's get going, then. We're just about time to get there for the main battle.
Come on, Gene. Let's hop a cab.
What's the hurry?
Taxi! Taxi! I want to get home and start a picture while I can still see it.
Oh.
Now, 146 East 19th Street, driver.
George, you can't paint at night.
No, but I can draw. Lock it in. I feel it now. The mood's on me. I don't want that scene to get away from me.
Bellows was like that. When he was interested in something, he gave himself no rest until he had it on canvas or drawing board. Mrs. Bellows told me that it was long after daylight.
George, have you been working all night?
What? All night? What time is it?
After six. What have you been doing?
Look.
The Dempsey-Firpo fight.
Like it?
Very much. Who but you would have thought of doing anything like that? Well, you can almost hear the blows and hear that crowd. George, that's the last word.
Good. That's what I want. Another 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, but you're tired. You need rest now.
Oh, I've got to keep at it while while yet.
You promised to have Jean and Anne sit for you this morning.
Oh, yes. Those blessed daughters of mine. Anne the Slim and Jean the Bean. All right, I'll knock off. I'd rather have their portrait successful than do a dozen dentures.
George Bellows painted like that. Vital living things that kept their vitality on canvas. Whatever was real and interesting and typical of America was important to American art. Few artists have been so versatile. Who else could have painted as tenderly as in Eleanor, Jean and Anne, or little old ladies, and then turned to the noisy turmoil of the Sawdust Trail? George Bellows would have hooted at the idea that he was a prophet, but his drawing of Lynch Law, The Law's Too Slow, and his picture of the tenements, Cliff Dwellers, both of them are sermons that have had their effect in molding public opinion. Circuses, revival meetings, the desert, the seacoast of Maine. Bellows painted them all with equal charm. That was the miracle of George Bellows, that the man who did Stag at Sharkey's could also do the crucifixion. His significance? I'd say he found America with no particular art consciousness. He leaves it with one. That's pretty good for 42 years.
Funeral services were held in the nearby Church of the Ascension, which artist friends had endowed with such great beauty. St. Gaudens' magnificently sculptured altar and Lafarge's greatest mural, the Ascension. 24 of his closest friends, led by his teacher, Robert Henry, and his companion, Eugene Spiker, acted as pallbearers. That day, a touching incident gave Mrs. Bellows proof of the affection.
Where Mr. Bellows used to live?
Yes.
Are you Mrs. Bellows?
I am.
Well, Joe and me each brought a rose. We ain't got very much money, but we're in one of his pictures. Would you put them?
Yes, I'll put them there. He'd love you for this. Thank you, boys. So much.
Mommy, dear.
Yes, Jean?
Look what it says in the paper about Daddy.
You read it, dear. I'm afraid I can't.
It's something a newspaper man wrote. It says, to George Bellows, that fight he was in was a greater one than he ever put on canvas. I can see how he'd have painted it. Knockout Death versus Fighting George Bellows. Yes, and old Knockout Death is a huskier brute than any of those he's done. He packs a mighty wallop. Knocked George through the ropes for the count. How he loved to paint beautiful fighting animals. Men with lithe muscles and clean limbs. Still, after we've seen his powerful and strong-armed beasts and admired them and forgotten them, we'll still remember the picture of a little girl in white. A little girl in white. Me, Mommy?
Yes, Jean, dear. You. 42 years. Scarcely a step in the march of America. But in those years, George Bellows gave it a national art.
42 years was the 10th in the series Men Who Made America. Prepared for the schools of the nation by the Ohio School of the Air and presented as an NBC educational feature. It was an original radio drama by Frank Seidel and Milton C. Hills, prepared by the radio workshops of the State Department of Education and of Ohio State University under the direction of Meredith Page, and produced by the Crosley Players under the direction of Reichel Kent. This is Bill Brown inviting you to listen at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time next week to Square Root, the story of one of America's great statesmen, Elihu Root. This program originated in the studios of station WLW Cincinnati and came to you through the facilities of the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company.